gift. Let us pray as we turn to His Word this day. Father, come and speak to us by Your Word. Teach us Your ways. Help us to grow in our faith that we might glorify You. For there is no greater purpose for us than to glorify You and enjoy You forever. Come, speak to us by Your Word, we pray, and give us courage to follow You. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people say, Amen. Continuing in Revelation, still in chapter 2, as we look at the letters to the church, and as we've discussed, we are convinced that these letters are written to the church universal, so they are words for us today. Revelation chapter 2 at verse 8, we pick up the letter to the church at Smyrna. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These are the words of Him who is first and the last, who died and came to life again." I'm going to come right back to that in just a moment, but I want to go back and pick up a few key verses along the way to this point. Excuse me, Revelation 1, verse 1. Listen, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants, must soon take place. He made it known by sending His angel to His servant John. And then in verse 4, "John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne." Revelation 1:8. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And all of these verses build together with what we read in chapter 2, verse 8, to provide us a foundational worldview. This is the way we must approach each and every day. Every minute of every day, this must be the undergirding thought. You're waiting for the thought, right? God is in control. Revolutionary. Radical stuff. But it is, isn't it? To actually live as if God is in control. As if God is, in fact, always there. But three times to this point, we have been reminded He was, He is, and He always will be. It's foundational to our understanding of our needs in this world. We're at the 8th verse of the 2nd chapter. And we have been reminded of this three times. In my Bible, this is 2 half pages of reading. And three times we are told this fact, that Jesus is the beginning and the end. And it was interesting because as I was meditating on my sermon this week, as I was preparing this message, at that very thought, as I wrote this in my yellow legal pad, the phone rang. And friend, actually, I'm sorry, it wasn't a phone ringing. That happened later in the preparation. It was a text message. I've got my Facebook has this really distinct ding. I can't get rid of it. Anyone else have this problem? And so when I get a Facebook message, it's like, ding! And it's like impossible to ignore it, which I would do with any other text message other than Facebook. And so I get this message. It's a fishing friend. One of these kayak guys that I see once or twice a year. And he has been out of work due to sleep apnea. He's a truck driver. And his sleep apnea got so bad that he was unsafe to be on the road. He was stripped of his driving privileges. And so he's been out of work for about a month and a half, 2 months, while he worked through the health issue and got his CPAP machine. And during that point, I'd sent him a couple messages just to encourage him. And so at this point, he sends me this message telling me that he is at a friend's house, mutual friend, a clergy person in the former denomination, and that he was over there, and this was after he had to scale back his Christmas They're having trouble making payments. I mean, you know, this is not a wealthy man. And to be out of work is a major impact. He's facing hard times. They were canceling a vacation they had planned, but this mutual friend of ours invited him over to spend the night, and they got to talking about fishing and got to talking about that they knew me. And so he just sent me a message right at this point in my studies to say, hey, how you doing? Nothing else. But that underlying foundational thought, God is in control, is my only answer to my friend. My answer to him, when I saw the first few posts, I just sent him a message and I said, it's hard to be out of work. I mean, he was talking about how it hurt his manhood to not be able to provide for his family, right? That's big stuff. I said, but your value is not set on what you can put under a tree. Your value is set by Jesus hanging on a cross. And nothing that happens can change that value. It's permanent. So just hang in there. Keep doing what you're doing. You're going to get through this. And he is going to get through this. And he's seeing that God's in control. This friend inviting him over and giving him a vacation at his home. And this is where we find the church of Smyrna. They're struggling. Verse 8, chapter 2, the book of Revelation. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. If you're in your own Bible, you ought to underline that. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. But be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've warned my friend, and I warn all of us today, to realize that we are rich regardless of our circumstances. No matter what our material situation is, the foundational truth that we must all learn to stand on is that God loves us. God loves us. And that love is not changed by material circumstances. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. God's warning to the church at Smyrna is a warning for all of us. For all of us. Notice at the end it says to the church in Smyrna, it's the pastor, right? The angel of the church at Smyrna say these things. But at the end of it says, may the churches, plural, hear. Remember I told you this was a universal text? I didn't make that up. It's right there. It's a letter to Smyrna, but it's to all of us. Will we all hear, and will we all understand that we must know these truths? That we must first dwell on the knowledge of God's eternal, sovereign governance of the whole universe. That we have this knowledge of His governance through Scripture. That all of the universe, all of history, all of the present, and all of the future belong to God. I know I'm repeating basic Christianity here, basic facts. But I wouldn't repeat them if we actually all lived like they were true. And I'm not picking on you guys, I'm picking on me. I look in the mirror and I see it in my own life. But the truth of the matter is before us. God is the God of time and space. And that God, that celestial, cosmic, transcendent, beyond our understanding being, loves you in a very personal and real way. So He's simultaneously bigger than our imagination, yet more real than anything else we can possibly know. And you, brothers and sisters, are His treasure. How do I know that He's your treasure? Because Jesus Christ came and died so that you might have everlasting life. And that God, that loving God, says to the church at Smyrna, and He is saying to us, you will suffer. Amen? Amen. Although Smyrna faced a specific persecution, the truth for every Christian, for my friend, the truck driver who is out of work, for my mom who is suffering from the ill of cancer, at some point we will all turn a corner and we will suffer. Cheerful message this morning. But if we ignore that fact, greater is our woe. For we will not be prepared to grasp onto the eternal God who loves us when it comes. And again, we're told, however, I think the word I used a few weeks ago was yet, right? The glorious yet. Yet, God is and was and always will be. He is the first, the last, the Almighty. The one who died and came to life again. And here's the promise. There will be suffering and there will be new life. The one is every bit as sure as the other. The message is that we need to be prepared for suffering. But hear me. We also need to be prepared for it to end. We need to be prepared for joy. We need to be prepared for suffering, but we need to dwell on the nature of God and the incredible life-giving love that He shows to us. And I bring us back once again to the simple truth. We referred to it last week. I'll give you the chapter and verse this week. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. And many of you who have been in counseling with me have heard these words. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that is a life verse. God gives us the revelation of Jesus Christ not to scare us, but to remind us that the past and the future are in His hands. So there are two key points so far. First, God is the God of the past, present, and future. This is your foundation for life. And two, you will face both joy and suffering in this world. And then the third point, the command of Jesus is be faithful. Be faithful. Be full of faith. For 2015, for this new year, Can we just do me a favor. Will you just set aside the measurement of success for your life? Just take that little part of your mind that's always gauging your rate of success, how you did in that conversation, how you did at school, how you did at home, how you did on that meal, how you did at your in-law's house, how you did on your clothing, whatever it is that you're judging your success on this year. Can we just set that aside? Just, I'm not going to do that. Not going to be judged by that. Not in terms of who I am and what my value is. Can you and I have ears to hear and realize that wealth, health, and success are not the measure of our lives? Rather, faithfulness. Faithfulness is the measure of our lives. Whether you are the rich man who provides a tomb for Jesus' burial, or we are the widow with two mites, will we serve the Lord this year? You tracking me? In other words, no matter how good you're doing or how bad you are doing, will you serve the Lord with what you have and who you are? Whether you are healthier than you've ever been, or you're facing setback after setback, I would encourage us to dwell on the eternal, sovereign nature of God and His incredible love. It's where we need to dwell. Now, I'll give you another text to live by this morning. 2 Corinthians. Might want to write this down, come back to it later. 2 Corinthians, you can certainly turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 11 reads, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this is all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Listen, verse 8. "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body." The words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The truth is, the world is broken and dying. The truth is, we share that nature with the world. Just noticing a little more gray around the fringe. A little more aches and pains in the morning. Those who are older than me are laughing at me. But we have light. But we have light in this darkness. It's a light that's been implanted in us. And the truth of the matter is, what that scripture is telling me, and I believe it's telling all of us, is that's so that the light will look even better. That as we're broken, and as we're wearing out, as we're not as good as we could be, as we're not as kind as we should be, as we are more and more forgetful of others, that goodness radiating out from us is more and more evidently Christ. Because we're here to glorify Him, brothers and sisters. It's not about your health and it's not about your wealth. It's about Him. So when people aren't quite the way they should be, we can turn to Christ. So when our bodies are not quite as dependable as we would like them to be, we can turn to Christ. So when finances are not where we would like them to be, we can turn to Christ. It's not a question of if, but a matter of when you will need Him. It's not a question of if you will suffer, but when you will suffer. And the truth of the matter is, when you need Christ is all the time. It is not a matter of if, brothers and sisters, but by faith a matter of fact. Verses 8 and 9. These are the words of Him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is God's word to His church. May you have ears to hear. And when you overcome, you will not be touched by the second death. Rather, brothers and sisters, by God's grace, we will share in eternal life. Let us pray. Father, by grace we are saved, not by works, lest we boast. The truth is, we are failing physically and emotionally on a regular basis. But you are there. You see our needs and you touch our lives, and we are grateful. Lord, we pray that by this word we would be encouraged to know that it is not unusual that we are the way we are, but that it is also not without remedy, that you are our cure, and that in you we have the truth of eternal salvation and grace. Be with us. Call us by name, and by your grace we will follow. Use us to your glory, we pray. We are grateful that we are indeed.